Welcome to the e-commerce playbook brought to you by IWD Agency, where we share tools, tips, and tactics from industry-leading experts to help you take your e-commerce game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Joe McFerrin.
Hey, e-commerce people. We're back with another edition of the e-commerce playbook. My name is Bradley Markham, and I will be your host today in lieu of Joe McFerrin. We have a really special guest on today. Her name is Megan Cahoot. She is the leader of e-commerce and customer analytics at Kendra Scott, based here in Austin. So without further ado, I'm very pleased to welcome you.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So for anyone who doesn't know Kendra Scott, I don't know what planet you're living on. You guys have grown from, I guess, a 2002 founding, right? To what is now a billion-dollar valued company, plus...
Exactly. Kendra started the brand here in Austin, Texas in 2002, designing jewelry in the spare bedroom of our house. There was really a white space in the market between fashion jewelry that tended to turn your ears green and not last a very long time and fine jewelry. And so she found this white space and started creating jewelry from real stones, real materials, and found that her family and friends loved it. So she worked really, really hard, got it in boutiques, in wholesales, in department stores, and eventually opened her first store. And now we have 100 stores across the country. Wow. And an e-commerce business.
Wow. And so your headquarters are here in Austin, right? How many employees do you have?
We have about 200 to 250 in the headquarters. And then across the country, we have several thousands.
Wow. Amazing. And your role, as I mentioned, is you're head of e-commerce and customer analytics. So you're wearing a lot of hats over there.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit like about the teams that you lead and how that's structured?
Absolutely. So customer analytics, I kind of grew up in my career doing a lot of customer analytics. So we support analytics across the entire Kendra Scott organization. We're really kind of just take all the data that we can get, whether it's store traffic information or online transactional information, we take that or survey information, we really take that and really work to tell the story about who our customer is and how they're shopping the brand. Really, really fun work. And then on the e-commerce side of things, my team manages everything from setting up products to our email and our text messaging and making sure we're segmenting to different customers in different ways. And then all features on the website, both deciding what they are and then the development of those features.
Excellent. So I know that you guys have a lot of offline business in your retail stores, et cetera, through your wholesale channels, and then also your website, e-commerce. So I'm curious how you make that all work together. And for someone in your role, as you're looking at customer analytics, how do you marry the offline world, the offline customers to your online experience? And I'm assuming you share a lot of data back and forth.
You know, there's the thing that we have to remember is that the buzzword in retail is really omni-channel, but there's how do you make the customer experience seamless across channels? But some of that is also allowing it to be unique. What we hear from our customers is that they're learning about us from wholesale and department stores. Then they're going on our website and learning about us as a brand. But because our product is so tactile and people do want to touch and feel before they buy, then they ultimately go into stores and buy. So it's important for us to think about what is most important in each of those channels and not try to do the exact same thing replicated everywhere. Right. In terms of data, we're definitely work to make sure that we have a customer ID that goes across our store and our online transactions and make sure we gain those learnings to really understand our customer fully.
Absolutely. So you guys probably spend a lot of time developing out customer personas. I assume that you especially are very intimately familiar with, you know, who is the Kendra Scott customer, right?
Absolutely. We work to merge in additional data to understand key demographics about our customers. We do surveys, and we really just try to get out there and talk to our customer to understand who are those key groups of customers that we need to reach. And so internally, we've developed about three personas that we really think incorporate a large part of our customer base.
Yeah, I'm wondering which one my wife is. Because she's one of them, I promise you. She loves her Kendra Scott jewelry.
Well, one thing that's always interesting is that a male customer is one of our personas. Really? And we don't always think about that, but we have a lot of gifting as a gifting brand. So that's someone that we can't forget as we're building our website experiences and our marketing experiences, because how a male shops is a lot different than how a female will shop for jewelry.
That's interesting. And I would fit in that persona too, because I have definitely purchased from your website. That's really interesting. I wanted to talk a little bit, just real briefly, about maybe some of the tools that you use to do all of this without getting too specific or proprietary. Can you tell us like day to day, like what are some of the most important tools that you find as an e-commerce leader that help things, you know, become a well-oiled machine over there?
Well, number one, your platform for your website, super, super important.
And you guys use,
we use Salesforce for our, platform. Okay. And we also have the basic tools like an ESP. So we can send out emails to our customers. Sure. I would say as a team, we've spent a lot of time identifying different partners for different things. So we have a partner that does triggered emails and make sure that we are able to send those out to as many people as possible. We have a different vendor that we're working with text message, because that's really kind of a new area that there's a lot of opportunity there, and it's not necessarily embedded with the other tools that we have. We have A/B testing software. We have predictive analytics software. So we spend a lot of time really kind of identifying what are the things that we want to solve for, and then working to find a partner that can supply us with the tools that we need to really accomplish what we're trying to do.
Great. So it's that kind of all speaks to an integrated marketing strategy. And, you know, as a marketing person myself, it's so important that all of those channels are working together and talking with each other. So, you know, I think a lot of times people run into issues when they have different vendors that are handling different aspects of their marketing channels. So, you know, is your email speaking to your retargeting strategies?
I agree that is one of the biggest challenges when you're using multiple vendors. Right now, how we're primarily solving that is that we have a really strong team member who's leading those efforts. And so she's building out maps about where are we communicating to different customers when, so that we're making sure that we aren't over inundating customers and that we're showing the right message at the right time from the right channel.
Yeah.
And that definitely is an issue that a lot of companies are facing, and a lot to do to solve that in the future.
That's actually really smart. I don't know that I've ever heard of someone dedicated to that role. So I think that that's a really smart hire to manage that experience.
I think that there's so many different ways that you can talk to customers. And she's just done this phenomenal job of really outlining who are the key customer groups. And I always get a lot of questions about how do you define who those key customer groups are. And, you know, quite frankly, when you're starting, just go with what you know is right. Like for us, like we've talked about a male customer. That's really important. We all know lapsed customers are important. We all know new customers are important. If you really start with those groups, you can start to build out some really strong customer segmentation strategies and then figure out how do you speak to those people across each of your different ways that you can speak to them.
Absolutely. One thing I know that you guys have that maybe a lot of brands don't have is just customer loyalty. Right. And customer advocacy, because people are so passionate about the brand. They love the product so much that, you know, it comes up in casual conversation as people are talking about the product. So how do you leverage that?
That's been so powerful for us, particularly here in Texas, kind of growing the brand here in Austin. And I myself moved here about 2 years ago, and just to be able to walk around and see the number of women wearing the brand, that's so, so powerful. So customer advocacy is hugely important, and we try to take advantages one way on our website through our Refer a Friend program, but we also try to take advantage of this in stores, because we work to build events where it's like, bring your friend into the store today and really make sure that we're doing things that our customers want to. And that's simple things as events or even just really, really great customer service in store, that when people have that experience, they want to tell someone else about it. So we spend a lot of time thinking about what are the experiences that we build that help drive that.
That's great. So I guess we could segue from there to kind of your social channels. So I'm sure you do a lot on social media, both organic and on the paid side.
Yeah.
I would assume from an e-commerce perspective, you're probably more involved on the paid social side of things.
Yeah. So my team does manage our digital marketing. And so our paid channels do fall within that. We talk a lot about how do you have different content on paid and on organic, and that it does need to be different, or customers will get confused if your organic looks too much like an ad. So you really do need to think through what are the strategies in both those areas. And paid social stuff, I mean, that is such an interesting world that's changed so much as rules about how you can target on Facebook have changed.
Really?
But, you know, I think that it's something that's here to stay, and it is a way that does effectively drive new customers. So it's something that we're excited to continue to grow in and test out different strategies.
Absolutely. So as part of your integrated marketing strategy, I'm sure that you guys also spend a lot of time thinking about not just how you drive people to your website, but the experience that people have once they're on your website.
Absolutely. Because once you get them there, kind of have to have them do something, or else it's just traffic for the sake of traffic.
Yeah, you know, so we actually, I talked with our CEO, Joe, about this recently, that we had a particular client that came, and they were like, XYZ marketing channel just isn't working for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we've tried email, we've tried PPC, and they just aren't working for us. Mm-hmm. And then as we dug in, well, we looked and their website was a complete mess from a UX and UI perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always say that the foundational element for any e-commerce success mm-hmm. is a really good online customer journey experience from the time they land on your website, or even from the time they engage with your ads to the time of purchase and beyond. So are you guys doing constant A-B testing? Like, how do you do all that?
We're doing all sorts of different things in this mm-hmm. area. We do user testing where we ask customers to show us doing something on the website. So it might be simple as buy a necklace. So then we look to see where are their pain points about where customers are falling off, where they're getting confused with our pages. That's just a really good way to get a basic understanding of what might be happening on the site. We're also in Google Analytics looking at our flows of our customers and trying to set baselines. So if there's a certain product grid that usually has X percent conversion and all of a sudden it's gone down, how can we figure that out fast and then solve it quickly as well? Yep. So we have dashboards related to web analytics. We are also, what else are we doing? A-B testing. We're constantly A-B testing on the site. And we're also spending a lot of time right now as a team really kind of identifying, here's a user flow. So it may be a gifter, or it may be someone who's just searching for themselves, and talking through what does that user's flow look like on the website? And then as a team saying, where are we having pain points? Where are we not? Because there is a lot of pressure to add new features to the site and add this and that. And sometimes what that can do is cloud the experience.
Absolutely.
Yep. Versus just keeping it clean. So we're really trying to say, like, where are the things that we really love that we have? And where are there things that we don't love those things anymore? So we're spending a lot of time on that right now, particularly as we look into holiday and 2020.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think that people get so caught up with adding every bell and whistle to the mm-hmm. website that sometimes they forget, like, the simple changes, like keeping it simple. First of all, if you're actually going to do a real A-B test, you need to limit the amount of variables mm-hmm. involved, right? So if you could start throwing A, B, C, D, E, F, G test, mm-hmm. then right. it's hard to know, like, you know, what's actually working
exactly.
and what's not working. So just kind of in general in the e-commerce landscape, you know, I know that you're super plugged in here. Like, what are some things that our viewers and listeners, you know, who are interested in e-commerce, what are kind of some buzzwords on the horizon, maybe like some e-commerce movement that you see that is happening here in the future?
Well, I think we talked a little bit about this, but I'm seeing a lot of tools out there that are really working to combine the multitude of tools that you have. I think that that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I think that there's also a lot of, in the past, we've had product recommendations, but it's very much about people who purchased this also purchased this, you viewed this, you also viewed this. And I think a lot of us have always seen where that misses things. It misses things about you as a customer.
Right.
And so I get really excited about some new technologies that I'm seeing that builds in a little bit more knowledge and machine learning about you as a customer when they're driving those recommendations. So that's something I get really, really excited about. And I just think there's so much cool stuff going on out there, right? I mean, there's things where it's like, you know, you can look at a chair and basically like take the camera and put it in your home and see what that looks like. And that's just amazing that we can do those things. And so, you know, you can walk around at an e-commerce or retail conference and just see the multitude of vendors out there doing really amazing stuff.
Yep.
And then you just have to think about what's important for your customer journey for you to implement on your own website,
right?
Because you don't want to do too much of it or else it'll be cluttered. But there's definitely a lot of very cool things out there.
Yeah, you mentioned something that's really important too, I think, is just the idea of making it feel authentic to your mm-hmm. customer and kind of balancing between having marketing automation mm-hmm. and making it also personalized.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that you guys do marketing automation as part of your marketing stack, right?
Yeah, we definitely have certain things that are automated, but in fashion, you also have that kind of responsibility to be a trend leader. And that's mm-hmm. really, really important to Kendra, is that we want to set the trend as well as serve our customer. And so that always adds in kind of a little bit of a little extra in terms of how we do marketing automation, because when you add new products to an algorithm, you mm-hmm. can kind of say that, okay, they'll show up based off of those attributes, but they don't always work in the way that you'd like, and they aren't always as present as you'd like. So
right.
a lot of times when we're talking about tools that automate marketing, one of the biggest questions we ask is, well, what do you do about new product? How do you make sure that's shown and that that's a priority? So that's definitely something that kind of puts a little twist on that side of marketing automation, making sure that we maintain that commitment to showing new trends and new product.
Interesting. So talking about going back to the customer advocacy side, and this all kind of ties in, and it seems like a recurring theme that's happening here, is I keep hearing about how personalized your experience is for your customers. Like, you guys are really thinking about from a customer perspective, from the time they start interacting with your company through, you know, a lifetime value, how you interact with them. And I think that's really interesting and really cool. And we talked a little bit about customer advocacy before, but so you mentioned that you have referral programs. Can you talk more about that? You guys, I think, also have an affiliate program.
Yeah, we have a refer a friend program. Right now, it's a really simple program of if you refer a friend, they get 20% off their first purchase and you'll get $20 off your next purchase with the brand. That's something that we've recently launched this past year. So that's something we're excited. It's growing right now. And so that's something we're really excited about. We do an affiliate program. Our affiliate program is we are currently partnered with Commission Junction. Sure. And we do affiliate program where it's both things like Ebates or Rakuten, whatever you'd like to call it today. Yeah. And then also do work with influencers as well, because influencers are an important way to drive customers to your brand and to really let people see the product really shine.
Great. So that's a lot of the e-commerce nerdy stuff. So I do want to talk a little bit about Kendra Scott as a company that's really involved in the community. It's doing a lot of great things away from just making a lot of money. And I think that that's another thing that sets you guys apart. And, you know, I can speak from someone who lives in Austin, Texas, that you guys are really influential here in the community. One of the things that they recently started was a program at the University of Texas for female entrepreneurship advocacy. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. This is a really, really exciting institute that Kendra has recently funded. And so it's the Kendra Scott Women's Entrepreneurial Leadership Institute. And basically what it is that it will incorporate having a space within a UT, within the UT campus, where there will be courses that are open to all majors, also a speaker series, a leadership workshop series, and mentoring and internship programs and more. And the goal here really is not just to help women start businesses, but also to make sure women have an entrepreneurial mindset. Working at a company like Kendra Scott, it's not a place where things are set or that we have, this is the way that we do things. It's a place where we need to think creatively and really like think about how do we continue to grow? And that having that mindset of like, how do you change? How do you grow? How do you adapt? That's so important to women in business. And that's the goal of the Institute, is to really build women leaders who have that mindset.
That's excellent. So give us a timeline in terms of like when it's...
Yeah. So we had our kickoff event actually last week here in Austin, which was absolutely fantastic and really, really fun. And I think really captures the spirit of the program. And the two courses will start in spring of 2020. So it's something that it'll start in kind of spring of 2020 and will be an ongoing program.
Awesome. So if you have a child attending the University of Texas, get her in the program.
She's going to be absolutely.
She's going to be a badass entrepreneur one day. That's so great that you guys are doing that. You know, again, another way that you guys are so involved in helping. You know, it seems like extending Kendra's vision from, you know, taking a small thing and kind of giving back so that hopefully other people can do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Another thing that you guys do is you give a significant amount of your revenue back to communities.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So Kendra has, we have a number of programs that allow us to give back. And one of the core pillars of the brand is philanthropy. So our three core pillars are family, fashion, and philanthropy. And so there's a multitude of ways that we give back to communities. But one of the things that we frequently do are Kendra Gives Back programs. Mm-hmm. And so these can happen at a very small scale at an individual store where someone might have a sick child or have a cause that they want to support. And they can come into our store, talk with the store manager, and set up a Kendra Gives Back in a back event. And basically what happens at that event is that the people who are sponsoring the event, they can invite their friends and family and anyone else to that event. And then 20% of the proceeds from that event will go to that person's charity.
Wow.
Really, really amazing. We give millions and millions of dollars back around these types of events every single year. And even at the corporate level, we do give backs as well. So for example, we provided donations to relief efforts for Hurricane Dorian recently. And we were a number of days on the website, had a suite of products where 100% of the proceeds from those charms gave back. We also right now in October have a suite of products that goes to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. 100% of the proceeds of those products goes there. We're very, very excited about how that's doing this month. And at the same time, when people buy products from that suite, one product goes to a woman who is currently going under breast cancer treatment. So really just a lot of different efforts that allow us to give back to the community.
That's awesome. And, you know, it seems like it really does come from a genuine place, which is great.
Absolutely. So the core behind that, Kendra's business before she started Kendra Scott, she started a hat business. And so her stepfather was undergoing cancer treatment, and she saw in the waiting room women who were losing their hair, and she wanted to create beautiful hats for them. And so she created these beautiful hats. And when she had that business, even in that business, giving back was so important. And so as she grew Kendra Scott, she knew that she wanted to incorporate that within our overall mission. And so it is something that's really special to the brand.
That's great. And you know what happens serendipitously is the fact that, like, once you bring that from a genuine perspective and you're actually doing the giving back, it actually does help your business, right? From a bottom line sense.
You know, it's something that's just so core to who we are. And it's something that we'd never step away from.
Good. Awesome. So let's look ahead a little bit and tell us, you know, what are the exciting things on the horizon for Kendra Scott?
Well, holiday is always a very exciting time, as you can imagine. So we're very, very excited as we get rolling into the holiday season. A lot of fun surprises in store for our customers, definitely. And as we look for 2020, like I talked about before, you know, we're keeping our eye on what are the key technologies that we want to integrate on the website, and really make sure that we get those things in place. So we're definitely thinking about it. We're working on some great things for everyone.
So you're going to be very busy between now and. For the foreseeable future. Okay. So let's talk about, what does Megan Cahoot do when she's not leading the behemoth of a company that is not Kendra Scott?
Well, I'm still relatively new to Austin, so I'm still really into exploring new parts of town and seeing new restaurants and doing new things here. And I've definitely become a bit of a Longhorns fan since moving down here.
All right. Now you're speaking our language. Well, actually, some of our top officials at our agency are LSU fans. So we recently had a tailgate at the UT-LSU football game where LSU beat Texas, and we still have a little intercompany rivalry going on. Well, Megan, thank you so much for making time. I know that you're busy, but we really, really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. Everyone, we will be posting this to our blog and elsewhere, so please feel free to check it out, check out future episodes, and to share this one. Again, on behalf of IWD Agency, my name is Bradley. We're so grateful for Megan Cahoot from Kendra Scott, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.